Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show, Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. Today, I have a great guest on, and we're going to do something that we don't do very often, but maybe halfway through the show, we're actually going to open the phone lines in case anybody would like to call in and have a question answered for them. But until we do that, first of all, let's welcome Jenna. Hi, Jenna. How are you?
I'm great, Nancy. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Now, Jenna, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what kind of prompted you on the journey that you're on?
Absolutely. I am a medium and an intuitive coach, and basically what I do is I work with my clients, and I work with spirit guides that I have, and it's a little different than the regular medium reading as far as it's not so much about, you know, saying, oh, you know, I have your dead Uncle Joe here, and he's telling me that he gave you a watch when you were 3 years old, and, you know, it's not that kind of information. Mm-hmm. It's more like life coaching from the other side, so that when people come to me, my spirit guides really get into, you know, what they need to work on in their lives, what they may need to change. They give them homework assignments of things, you know, they need to practice on to help improve certain parts of their lives. And they're sort of very straightforward and upfront about if people ask questions about a particular relationship and they don't think it's the right one for them, they have no problem being very, you know, forthright and saying, nope, not the one for you, you know, kind mm-hmm. of a thing. And so it's a little bit of a different, because usually when people think of mediums, they think of, you know, people coming through with messages from the other side for their loved ones and things like that. And even though that does happen, the majority of the information that comes through is very much like life coaching.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people sometimes misinterpret what they know as, like, a lot of people say, I'm a psychic medium.
Right.
And a lot of people say, well, what exactly is a psychic medium? You're either a psychic or you're a medium.
Right.
Well, no, that's not really the way it works. You know, so a lot of people probably need to understand a little bit better the terminologies about, you know, what a person does. Just because I say, hey, I'm an intuitive, you know, reader, life coach, business coach, you know, I could be looking at it a total different way because
right.
I use tarot cards to get all my info and a lot of other information from, you know, whoever my guides are.
Right.
You know, but it's just a title. So, you know, people who are listening need to know, they kind of need to understand that, you know, just because somebody says they're a medium, like you said, Janet, doesn't mean that you're going to bring in a lot of relatives from, you know, the other side.
Absolutely.
They can come through, though.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I have, in particular, a couple of clients that her mom, will come to me while I'm at work, and she'll start telling me that it's time for her daughter to come and see me. And we go through this, it happens about once every 3 months, and the mom is really adamant, you know, about, okay, it's time for my daughter to come and see you. And always, within 24 hours, the daughter will contact me for a reading. And as soon as she calls or emails me, I'm like, yeah, I knew you were going to call. Your mom was here yesterday.
So,
you know, some of the spirits, when they want to come through and they want to get a message across, they, you know, they will come through very strongly.
Yeah, it's really funny because, you know, I'm not really a medium, you know, sort of speak.
Right.
But, you know, I agree with you. Sometimes they just happen to come through and it's like, well, okay, so now what am I supposed to do
yeah.
with this? You know?
Yeah, I get that a lot, you know, and I'll sit there, you know, and be saying, okay, well, do you want me to call your daughter and say, okay, you need to come and see me because your mom really has to talk to you right now, you know, so it can be kind of funny sometimes.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I have a great time. Now, you also write a weekly column.
I do.
Can you explain a little bit about that and then tell people where they can go to read it?
Yeah. There's a famous astrologer by the name of Bridget Walther, and it's basically bridgetwalther.com, or you could do astroabby.com. And I have a column on there, sort of like the Dear Abby from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So people can write in a question to me that they want to know about, that's, you know, they're having a problem with in their lives. And then I consult with my guides, and then I write back, and I publish the answer in the column.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of neat.
And it's really fun, and people, you know, sometimes people are just so confused about, you know, a particular incident that's going on in their lives, and they just, you know, they just need some help. And, you know, a lot of times it's just like from someone you don't know, Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you hear that answer from someone you don't know and everything falls into place, even though family members and friends may have been telling them the same thing for years.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of getting, hearing it from an outside perspective sometimes just helps to bring them to the change they need to make.
Now, can you spell Bridget's full name so that they get it right?
It's Bridget, B-R-I-D-G-E-T-T, Walther, W-A-L-T-H-E-R.com.
Okay.
And when you go on her website, under you'll come to the front page, and then you'll see on the right-hand side, I think it says, like, Muse or Psychic or Tarot, and then it says Medium, and I'm under the Medium.
Okay, great. Now, we'll talk about that again. We'll announce it again in case people didn't get it. Did you just wake up one morning, Jenna, and say, hey, okay, I can do this?
No, you know what? For me, my mom's a psychic,
okay.
And she's 81, still practicing, still has clients from all over the world, and her mom was a psychic as well. So it's definitely on the woman's side of the family here.
Okay.
And my mom's has different powers than I do, but it's just, it's sort of in the genes. And although when I was growing up, I would have, you know, predictive dreams about things. And, you know, I was always called a connector among my friends because I always knew, you know, how to set the right people up in the right job or connect them with somebody that could help them in some way and those things. But I never connected that to being psychic.
Mm-hmm.
And it really wasn't until I hit my 20s, my dad passed away of lung cancer, and about 3 days after he died, he came to me in the middle of the night, woke me up, he had his hand on my ankle and he was shaking me awake, and he just said, just want to let you know I'm okay and that everything's going to be fine with you and not to worry. And that was my first encounter with the spirit, and after that I said, you know what, it was really great to see you, but I really would rather not see spirits again because I was really scared, even though it was my dad. So from then on, they've spoken to me instead of appearing to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm what you call clairaudient, meaning that I can hear them very well. So just like you and I are speaking, that's how I get my messages from them.
Which is good. Do you think most people have the psychic ability someplace in them, and it may be all different kinds of forms, but it's there?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. I actually, I teach a lot of psychic development workshops, and the thing that is so great about that, Nancy, is that people come into the class thinking that they really don't have any kind of abilities at all, and I will just sort of have them do, you know, all these different exercises, and sometimes I just have them do cold readings on each other, mm-hmm. and the information that they pick up from each other is amazing, and they are so blown away because they're like, I didn't think I could do this. And we all do. I mean, we all have had gut feelings about something. We've all had, you know, that sensation of the hair standing up on the back of our neck or our arms when we're not feeling comfortable about a situation or feeling scared or, you know, so we're getting information all the time, but people just aren't realizing it.
Yeah, I actually think people are starting to wake up a little bit better where it doesn't freak them out so much.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and it's a good thing because, I mean, if they could really just listen to what their gut feeling is telling them, chances are they probably wouldn't get in such situations or, you know, get themselves all bound up inside.
That's
you
right.
know, but they want to second-guess themselves. And every time you try to second-guess yourself and throw it up to logic, guess what? You've now screwed it up. You know, so it's like that practicing of trusting the person's first gut feeling. You know, when I do the readings, that's what I tell them. It's like, well, that's really hard. How can I get that done? So when you're teaching some of the psychic development, do you help them understand, like, some exercises or something they could do to help bring out that psychic ability?
Yeah, all the time. That's what, you know, because I feel that the best way to learn, really, is through, you know, the experience and through, you know, actually going through things. So I will give them a lot of different exercises just to practice on. And, you know, sometimes I will start out, even before they come to class, I will give them really simple, simple things to do that anybody out there can do. Like when they go to work in the morning, you know, before they get home at night, you know, guess how many pieces of mail are going to be in your mailbox. Or if you have to take an elevator, you know, in your job, you know, guess which elevator bank is going to come first. And just little tiny things like that start, you know, just start the awareness you know, there. And then by the time they come to class, they've already kind of fooled around with some of these things, and we're like, oh my gosh, that was, you know, these little tiny things were really fun. And then when they come to class, we'll do things like I'll give them someone's name that nobody in the class knows, but maybe, you know, I know. And I'll give them a name and say, just write this name down in a piece of paper and tell me what kind of information you get from that name. You know, what do you think the person looks like? What kind of personality do you think they have? You know, anything about them that you pick up on. And the things they come up with are absolutely amazing. They're always, like, right on.
And I bet they go, oh, wow.
Yeah, so people who think they don't have any powers and they do these exercises, they're like, oh, my God, that was so great.
So it's so much fun.
It's so much fun, and they all have a great time. And what's really nice about the classes is that just the people walk away going, I had no idea I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had it in me all the time. I just had no idea that I was really, you know, I could do a lot with this.
Mm-hmm.
So I always just say to people, it's like practice, practice, practice.
Now, do you go on, you know, like different places to teach classes, or do they basically have to come to you?
You know, I do them. I live in Los Angeles, so I do them a couple of times a year in person, you know, around the L.A. area. But since so many of my personal clients are either out of state or out of the country, I've started doing them just via a teleconference.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a conference call, and everybody will do it like once a week for a month, you know, and everybody has a number that they call in at a certain time. And the class is usually about an hour and a half each week, and we just go through lots of different exercises. And that way, you know, everybody can do it no matter where they live, because it's just, you know, coordinating the time. So,
do you have a website or a phone number that if somebody's interested in learning more about it and maybe being part of the class, that they can find out more about you?
Absolutely. They can. The website is easy because it's JanaHollingsworth.com, which is JanaHollingsworth.com. And the phone number is 310-441-9597.
And we'll get that again, you know, so we won't just do it once, we'll do it again.
Right.
When you were, like, growing up and you saw your mom having people come to the home and she did readings for them,
yeah.
Were you curious about it at the time when you were young, or did you just go, that's what my mom does?
No, you know, I was actually fascinated by it. And the funny thing is that, you know, usually kids in, you know, grade school and junior high and all that, you'd come home after school and, you know, your mom would help you with your homework or, you know, prepare a snack for you to eat. And I'd come home and my mom would be doing readings in our kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would, you know, the people are always so enthralled with all the information that she was giving them, so they didn't even pay attention to me. So I would go and just, you know, sort of make myself a little snack. And, you know, if my mom came up with something that was sort of juicy, like, oh, and you know your husband's been having an affair with some lady, then I'd make a more elaborate snack that took longer so that I could hear all the details of what she was saying. So, no, I thought it was, I always thought it was really fascinating. And the fun thing for me growing up with it is that no matter who I went out with or dated, you know, she'd always say, okay, Jana, just give me the guy's first and last name before you go out with him, and I'll tell you whatever you want to know. And so she'd tell me all these things about him or his family or whatever, and I'd go out on a first date with him, and I'd be saying all these random facts to him over dinner, like, oh, so your mom's a nurse, and she lives in Florida, and, oh, you have a twin brother by the name of Steve. And he'd be like, I just met you last night. How could you possibly know these things? So I had a lot of fun with it, actually.
Which is a good thing. It's good to have fun with it, because if people get too serious with it, it's like not quite as good. It doesn't work as well.
Right, right, absolutely.
Do you think little... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and, you know, the other thing about having these powers is that I always try to tell my clients, you know, like you just said, when you work with your clients, it was like, you know, use that first gut instinct you get about it, because when your logic comes in, it messes everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so true, and I say that to my clients all the time. It's like, you know, really be aware. What do you feel about this? You don't have to call me all the time. What is it that, you know, you're feeling about it? And I'm like, you know, because usually, like you said, what they're coming through with first is right on.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to learn to go with that.
Yeah, it's when they try to stop and re-guess it or rethink it or try to make it fit, like I said, logically.
Right.
Then it kind of gets discombobled somewhere, and it really doesn't turn out as well. And then all of a sudden they'll hear within themselves, I knew I should have done it the first way. You know, and then they get upset and they go, I'm going to do it that way next time. And then they have to go through that process about four or five, six times.
Yes.
And it's like, I've been right all along. What's wrong with me? You know.
I know.
So what I do, Jen, is I tell people to always have a piece of paper and a pencil with them. And any time they get a gut feeling, doesn't matter what it is, and it doesn't matter what you're going to do with it at the moment, but jot it down and date it. And every 2 weeks, pick up those papers and go back and look at what you jotted down and dated. And whatever comes close to what you jotted down doesn't have to be perfect, but close.
Right.
Then put like a little check mark by it. And do that for about 6 to 8 weeks, and you'll see that your intuitive part of you is really kicking in, and then your logic part will kind of take a little break.
That's a great idea.
You know, because we're visual. We're more visual.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you see it, you know, they put a check mark by it and they go, oh, wow, I said this 2 weeks ago, and man, it's starting to happen, you know. It leaves a bigger impression than if they go, well, I think I was right 2 weeks ago. I don't quite remember, but I think I was, you know.
No, I love that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it works really well. And because I used to teach the psychic development, and I used to teach the tarot card readings, and I do remote viewing. So I teach a lot of those things, but I haven't taught them lately. But that's some of the stuff that I would do, you know, to help people see that they really can, that it's already there, that it's natural.
Right.
You know, and you can learn it, you know, to bring it out better. But it really is already there.
It is. And, you know, it's another good one that's easy for people to do and can also give you a lot of information is that same thing. You take a pen and a paper and you just write on the top of the paper, what is it that I need to know right now to help me in my life? And if you write that on a piece of paper and you do that every day, you'll start to get so much information because so many times people get caught up in things that aren't important. And they spend so much time and energy on something that really, you know, in the big scheme of things, doesn't really mean a lot. And when you ask this question, you know, what's the most important thing for me to know right now about my life, the information, if you do it every day, you know, for a couple of weeks or for a month, you know, you're going to see the information that comes through is leading you to a place that, you know, this is what you should be focusing on right now, and this is what's important.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another good exercise to have people do as well.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. Now, do you think kids in general have probably, let's say that they're closer to their own intuitiveness than typical adults are today?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And they've always said, you know, for as long as I can remember, you know, I've always heard about children always being psychic. You know, children are the one who will see, you know, a passed over loved one standing at the kitchen next to their mom, you know, while she's cooking or something like that. The kids definitely have that, and even pets too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids and pets like have that extra sensitivity to tune into a higher vibration, and they pick up, you know, when there's another spirit in the house. And I know even when I do my readings, my dog, and I just have a 5-month-old puppy who, you know, at times can be very sort of wild and playful and all that. And as soon as the spirits come in and as soon as I start a reading, she goes, you know, right to her little bed and naps until I'm done with my reading.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
It's always fascinating me when it comes to little kids because the little kids, they really do. They've not been corrupted yet.
Right.
Is what I decided.
No, you're absolutely right. No,
yes,
and they do have incredible psychic ability, kids.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I encourage the parents because they say, man, I'm having a hard time with my kid right now. And they go, well, why? And they'll start to tell me some things going on. I said, well, did ever dawn on you that maybe their psychic ability is trying to come out? And they'll look at me like, what? They have psychic ability? Yes, they do. Actually better than yours because as long as you encourage them, it won't get corrupted like yours has been so far.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, also, too, the parents need to pay attention to, you know, when children are talking about they're playing with their imaginary friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things like that, a lot of times it's, you know, it can very well be just another spirit, you know, that's come into the picture that they can see and hear very clearly. So, you know, to the parents, it's like, oh, that's just their imaginary friend, but the kid, you know, very likely could be, you know, having a whole conversation with the spirit. So, yeah, parents definitely need to be aware of that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and really pay attention. You know, if their kids are saying, oh, Mom, you know, I saw Grandma today, and the mom's like, oh, that's silly. Grandma died, you know, years ago. And the kid's like, no, she was, you know, she was in my bedroom this morning when I woke up. You know, that's stuff they should really pay attention to.
Yeah, and sometimes parents get freaked out by it. Like every house I live in, there's always a ghost. They probably just kind of follow me because they like it.
Right.
But and it's hysterical because there's four generations of women in one household where I am, okay?
Oh, my God.
I have my mom, who is 85, myself, my daughter, and my granddaughter, who is 8, going on 30.
Oh, my
So, you know, it's a lot of fun. And there's a couple ghosts in the house, and every now and then they'll get to see it, and it'll kind of, you know, they'll jump a little bit, and they'll freak them out a little bit, but then they remember it's just a ghost, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun, and my granddaughter goes around, did you see that, Grandma? And it's like, well, I don't know. Explain it to me. Tell me what you're seeing so that maybe I did, you know. And if
yeah.
I didn't, maybe I want to. You know, so we play this little game so that she kind of, it's not like she's looking for it, but she's aware of it.
She's aware of it, yeah,
yeah.
And that's great because, you know, it's funny. When you were just telling me about them, the first thing I got from you is that the same sort of in my family is that all the women in yours have it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your daughter, too.
Yeah, they don't use it like I do,
but they have it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Granddaughter, when she sees me, you know, doing readings by phone and stuff, she'll go, can I turn over a card for him? It's like, no, Taylor, you can't. You know, we can play after we're done. Okay. Oh, all right. You know, and then she'll kind of go away for a little bit, but she watches to see when I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, it's my turn.
Yeah, well, because it's fascinating to her,
uh-huh.
You know, especially because she does have the abilities, so. Yeah, must be really fun for her.
She is. It's a lot of fun, you know. And my daughter has it, but she uses it in a much different way. She's very compassionate, and she, you know, trusts that compassionate part of her, which is, you know, pretty close to what your real psychic ability is all about anyway.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Now, you've done a few other jobs other than, you know, just the psychic stuff, because you actually did human design analysis.
Yes, and I still do.
Okay, so how does that help you with your intuitive coaching?
You know what? It's a great tool because human design is basically, it's an in-depth personality analysis, and it's based on the traditions of astrology. It incorporates something called the I Ching, which is an ancient Chinese divination tool. And the I Ching is very similar to how we use tarot cards today. Like each of the tarot cards has a specific meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And in the I Ching, there's 64 lines, and each line of the I Ching has a very specific meaning. So we use it like that. It also, human design also incorporates the energy systems in the body, the chakra systems. And so it's an in-depth personality analysis combining all these different things. And what's interesting about it is it gives me a great sort of roadmap of what's going on with somebody because it tells me about their weaknesses, their strengths, their hidden talents, their life purpose, and at the same time it also incorporates your soul's incarnation into your body as well so that when we cover, when we go through human design, it's sort of like, you know, your life purpose comes in with your soul, and then we talk about, you know, your basic personality traits that you were born with. So that when we combine, you know, if we do a human design analysis first and we see all these, you know, hidden strengths and talents you may not have tapped into yet, and then we do an actual, you know, medium reading, it's just great because now we know, okay, this is the core of you. You have all these amazing gifts to work with. So now that we know that, then we do the medium reading to take it even to the next step further to find out how you can incorporate these steps into your life now and what to do with it going forward. So between the two, it can be a very powerful combination.
It sounds like it could be really great. How long does it take?
The actual human design reading takes an hour to do. And for me, it takes about maybe 2 or 3 hours to do someone's chart ahead of time. And then, you know, we do the one-hour reading. And then the person can either, I either send them a written interpretation of the chart, or if they like, you know, the audio things better, I just tape it for them and send them a CD of the reading. So
mm-hmm.
they can have it either way. And it's very, people who have that are always very fascinated by it because it picks up so many details about your personality. And it's just people are always blown away by it.
And explain again what you base it on for the human designs.
It's astrology.
Okay.
The I Ching.
Mm-hmm.
The chakra systems of the body, and also a little bit of the Kabbalah. So it's a very interesting system, and but the information that comes out of it is such a helpful tool to people because they're like, gosh, I didn't know that I had these talents. I remember when I was young, I was really always good at this particular thing, but then I just kind of, you know, pushed it under the rug and didn't do anything with it. And meanwhile, in their chart, it's all over the place that this is, you know, you should be using these talents you have. So
mm-hmm.
It's an eye-opener for people, you know, especially people who feel stuck in not knowing what direction they should be going in and, you know, that kind of thing. It just will bring to light a lot of the talents that you have and that how you should be using them.
I think people tend to want to sell themselves short way too much.
Always.
You know, because I think we've been taught to think that if we think we're good, then our ego is in the way and it's ego talking. But I don't really believe that. I think that people really need to trust what they feel that they're really good at, like
yes.
what you're saying, and just try to add to it as much as they can, or at least learn more about, you know, the rest of what goes with it to make them good or better.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I always tell people, too, it's like it's so important to pay attention to what you are good at naturally. You know, whatever talents or hobbies or whatever you have that just come natural to you, those are the things you should be following. You know, some people are just very gifted as leaders. They have, you know, that gift for gab. They have the charisma. You know, they have a lot of things like that. And it's like it's very natural to them to take a leadership role. So it's like go with that. You know, don't try and fight against it and do something that, you know, would put you in a position of, you know, being submissive to other people or whatever, because what you were meant to do is be a leader. So take those natural born talents and abilities and, you know, put yourself in those kind of positions. And, you know, same with people who are extremely artistic and creative and are excellent writers and all that, and then they end up, you know, taking a job to pay the bills to be an accountant or something, which they don't like and they're bored with. And, you know, I'm like, that's okay if you need to pay the bills, you know, and do that. That's, you know, absolutely, I understand that. But you need to follow your passion, because your passion is just automatically going to lead you to your life purpose, because these are your natural talents and things that you should be using in life. So it's always just sort of an eye-opener for people to do, like, you know, I could really do something with my art. I never even thought of that, you know. So
mm-hmm.
It's nice to be able to help people break out of that self-defeating thought patterns, you know, mm-hmm. that they put on themselves.
I think people are afraid to do their passion, though.
They are.
They're afraid of what other people may think, or, you know, are they really going to succeed at it, or is it going to give them enough money to live, you know? So
right.
People with that passion will have that very, you know, big negative energy to try to talk themselves right out of it, because they have to be traditional. And they have to do what the normal everyday person is doing. It's like, hey, there's not one person who walks this earth that's really normal. You know, we try to fit into normal, but none of us are. You know, we all have our own stuff.
It's so true.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that normal range is, it's like, what's the normal range? You know, if you're here and somebody's over this end, is it a normal range to be 0 to 100? Because then everybody would fit, but that's not what they consider normal range. They do like a 40 to 60 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so they kind of limit it. It's like, no, you know, you're unique. You got your stuff. It's like, just, you know, follow through with it. I think if people did that, you know, like with what you're suggesting, that they would actually be so much happier, and there would be so much more success going on in everybody's life, rather than, oh, my God, I got to wake up and go to work today, and I can't stand it.
Right.
You know, but you're also a holistic health practitioner.
Yes, I went to school for many different things.
That's okay.
Yeah, so I studied holistic health, and which I love. I do, and what also comes in handy with what I do too. During my holistic health practices, you know, I learned about all the different modalities. You know, from Ayurveda to, you know, Chinese medicine to mm-hmm. homeopathy. And one of the things I also learned was something called flower essences.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is basically is that, you know, flowers from, you know, any kind of flower in combination can be a very potent thing to help you work on your emotions. So what you do is they actually come in, it's like in a dropper bottle, and it's a liquid, and you put these flower essences under your tongue a few times a day, and depending on what it is you're working, trying to work through, like if somebody has just lost a loved one and they're grieving and, you know, depressed and stuff like that, there's a particular flower essence for that. If people are having anxieties about something or insomnia or, you know, things like that, then you combine different flower essences together and, you know, make, they call it a potion, and you make a potion out of it. So, you know, that's also very helpful, too, for when clients are trying to work through specific, you know, issues, and for during that process, they're very anxiety-ridden or whatever. So it's sort of like, okay, let me make you up this flower essence, and, you know, you can use this to help you. So it's just, you know, the combination of the schooling I've done is all just sort of, you know, led me to the path where I am now. And I also went to school for spiritual psychology as well. And so, you know, everything I've learned over the years from all these, from all the schooling has just made, you know, my natural gifts, you know, as a medium even stronger because, you know, of the background I have scholastically as well. So it's just, it's kind of like, okay, you know, the spiritual psychology has helped so much in the coaching portion of things, you know, when, mm-hmm. when people are kind of stuck and trying to get through a tough time. It's, you know, being able to, you know, have that background to understand where they're at and help them work through it, as well as whatever information I'm getting from the guides. And, you know, the guides are very specific about you need to do this, 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 and this. So, you know, it all works together very, very well.
Do you know who your spirit guides are?
I do. And they change. They change. So it's not always, because people always ask me this question about themselves as well. You know, do I have spirit guides? And the question is yes. You know, we all have our guides, but not, we don't always know them by name per se, but we all, you know, we all have them with us. And in my particular instance, I started out, my very first spirit guide was my grandmother, my mom's mom, and I had never met her in life because she died before I was born, and she was one of my first guides that I had. And then from there, they kind of switch out depending on, you know, every time I guess I go up another notch spiritually and I learn more, then they send in a different set of guides. So it's been a very, you know, a very interesting journey with them because each of the guides that I've worked with bring a different energy, you know, mm-hmm. into the reading. So it's been really a fascinating experience, and I've loved working with all of them because they all have personalities just like, you know, we do here on Earth. Some of them are more jokesters, you know, and others are very serious and, you know, we want you to do this, 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 and this, and others are just sort of like, you know, I could have a client sitting there and they'd be like, wow, she's a babe. If only she were dead, I'd love to take her out, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to tell my client that. So, you know, it's just, you never know, you know, and it's just been a really great, you know, ride for me to going through, you know, the different guides as I grow as well.
And in your opinion, is there a difference between spirit guides and angels?
There is. There is. And I know people who specifically deal with, you know, they do angel readings and they deal specifically with the angelic realm. And from what I've heard, the angelic realm is a different realm than where spirit guides reside. And because I don't understand a lot about the angelic realm, it's just sort of like I just understand that there are different realms and, you know, they have different things that they do for us, and but they're, you know, they're all important. And I believe that, you know, we all have our guardian angels and our spirit guides. So, you know, I say to people, I'm like, you know, you're more protected than you think you are. You know, if you feel like you're alone here on this earth, you're not. You know, you are protected, and you do have guides around you. And sometimes it doesn't, you know, because they'll always say, well, is it a family member? You know, is it someone that I know? And I'm like, not necessarily. It doesn't have to be. Sometimes mm-hmm. it is, but sometimes it's not.
Yeah, because I never ask my guides or my angels who they are. I just know that they're there because I get messages from them all the time.
Right.
And I know that they switch around and they change around, so it's like, well, I don't want to get them confused. So if you really want me to know who you are, you can just tell me. Otherwise, just give me the energy.
Right.
And so that's how I've approached it. But people used to ask me all the time, well, can you tell me the name of my spirit guide? Tell me the name of my angel? It's like, well, you know, it varies. It kind of depends on what you need at the moment as to who's going to really be there. And I said, so if you want to know, you can ask them yourself. You just, you know, sit down one day when it's nice and quiet and ask who they are and what they're supposed to do to be helping you out, something like that. I said, you'd be surprised. You'd come up with some names. I said, you may not believe the names you get because they're not just the normal, sometimes everyday names like Tom or Jane.
Right, right.
You know, they could be really hard to pronounce sometimes.
Yeah, no question about it.
You know, and they look at me like, are you nuts? It's like, well, no, but you asked me a question, so I have to explain to you the best that I can explain it to you.
And you also, you brought up a great point about that because people always want to know about their spirit guides. Mm-hmm. And I tell them the same thing. I'm like, you know, they're not coming through to me right now with the name that they're going to, you know, for you. But what you can do is when you wake up in the mornings, you just ask your spirit guides to, you know, help you with whatever is going on in your life. And if they, like you said, you know, if they want to introduce themselves and come forth with names for you, that's great. And if not, it's just about knowing that they're there and calling upon them and asking for their help.
Mm-hmm. And you've got to stay open when you call them. You can't call on them and, you know, then shut yourself down.
Right.
And people tend to do that, too. And it's like, no, you call on them. You stay patient enough until you get your answer that you're looking for.
Yes.
You know, and they go, yeah, but it didn't come right. Well, it's like, you know, they don't have a time frame up there. You guys don't understand this. They have no time frame. We are the ones here who have invented the time frame,
yes,
not them. So I said, then you're going to have to give them one, like now or immediately or right now or something like that. But, you know, don't just throw it out there and expect this, you know, this great time frame to fit yours because it's not always going to fit yours.
Right. And that's important for people to know, too, about the time frames because, you know, people are always, always wanting to know, well, you know, when am I going to meet this guy? Or, you know, when am I going to get that job offer? And it's funny because one of my clients who I work with regularly, he had something come up in his life where a family member was, you know, pretty much on their last legs. And he said, well, you know, when are they going to die? And I said, you know, really, I don't see them here by the end of April. You know, I think they're gone. So I think I got a call on April 30th, and it was sort of like, they're still hanging on, they're not dead yet, and they died the next day on May 1st. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, I was off a day, I'm sorry. People get very, you know, stringent with the time, you know, the time thing. So, you know, it's good for people to know that the time on the other side is very different than it is here on Earth.
It is, and it's like, you know, because they really don't have a time frame up there. We're the ones who invented the clock,
yes,
and the calendar. You know, it wasn't them. When you're up there, you know, flying around nice, easy, breezy,
yes,
there isn't a time frame, and there shouldn't be a time frame.
Yeah,
it's
because
like,
you don't need it.
No, you know. Now, you've also worked with executives.
Yes.
So can you explain how, let's see, well, I'll try to be kind. The executives that you have worked with,
mm-hmm,
are they just as confused as, say, their employees might be?
Yeah, because you know why? What I've found over the years is that they can be absolutely brilliant in business, but when it comes to their personal lives, they're a mess.
Mm-hmm.
They can't hold a relationship. They can't, you know, it's just everything kind of falls apart outside of work. So, and the other part to that, too, is that, you know, before I got into all this kind of work, I was an executive assistant to, like, CEOs of corporations and, you know, of a lot of entertainment companies as well over the years. And so just energetically, you know, working with those people and then, you know, not knowing my own psychic abilities were working at the time, but every single time I would have a yearly review with whoever my boss was, they'd all write the same exact thing about me, like, Jana always knows exactly what I need and want before I even ask her to do it. It's already done, and I don't know how she does that, and it's kind of weird sometimes, but, you know, she's great. And so, you know, unbeknownst to me, my psychic abilities were working all the time because I always knew ahead of time, you know, what these people wanted and needed and, you know, before they even thought of it themselves sometimes, so... you know, between working with them actually, you know, sort of in the trenches, so to speak, and then working with them when I got out of there is in more of a coaching kind of capacity, It was really interesting to see that, you know, these brilliant entrepreneurs and CEOs and stuff, that their lives were just as messed up as anybody else's. So.
Oh, yeah. Like, I used to do, like, a lot of movie stars. You want to talk about messed up lives?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, you know, and they would call and call and call, and I would, you know, I'd tell them what they needed, you know, what they needed that was to be done, and they'd call back a week later and go, well, you know, I didn't quite get this done, so this is what's happened to me now. And it's like, can't you just, I mean, you learn scripts, you follow the scripts to a T, and then you do a retake if you didn't, so can't you just do the same thing?
Yes.
And they would go, well, I suppose. It's like, well, just, you know, maybe try it. You know, if it doesn't work the first time, just, you know, practice it and try it again.
Yeah, and it's, you know, what's interesting, though, with the whole celebrity thing is they're the most insecure people.
Mm-hmm.
So they will be the ones who will call you, you know, 100 times over and over and over again with the same thing, because they're just, you know, they just sort of need that reassurance. So they're the hardest ones to train sometimes to listen to their own intuition.
Oh, it was really funny. I ticked off one of them pretty bad. I won't say his name. I don't even remember his name, but he was a pretty big star, and he called me, and he goes, I need to speak with you. And I go, well, I can't speak to you right now because I'm already talking to somebody. Well, what do you mean you can't speak to me? You don't know who I said, yeah, I do know who you are, and believe me, I can't, because I am talking with somebody else. So if you're going to call me back, blah, 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 just don't go, ha! And he hung up on me, and I thought, you know, it's you that called me. I didn't call you, so,
right.
You know, I am not going to bow down just because you tell me that you're so-and-so. It's like, yeah, well, okay, well, you're a person, too. So.
Yeah, it is very interesting, because it comes, a lot of times, you know, their personalities come with that sense of entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, I'm more important than anyone else, so you should drop everything right now and do as I ask. So, yeah, it's always very interesting working
yeah.
with the celebrities.
I was talking, somebody had called me from one of the radio stations in Chicago, and they wanted me to be on their show, and I was talking to the producer, and the phone rings. I said, can you hold on a second? And he goes, yeah, okay. So I answer the phone, and it's Catherine Oxenberg. And she goes, Nancy, in her English accent, can I speak with you right now? I said, Catherine, you're actually going to have to call me back in about a half hour. Is that okay? She goes, oh, yeah, that would be okay. So I got back on the phone, and I said to him, I said, you know, I just had to tell Catherine she had to call me back. He goes, oh, Catherine. I said, yeah, you know, the one that does Dynasty, you know, Catherine Oxenberg. He goes, Catherine Oxenberg? You told her to wait? I go, well, yeah, I was talking to you. He goes, but Catherine Oxenberg? I said, yeah, you know, do you want to finish our conversation? She goes, oh, I just can't believe you told her she had to call you back. I said, well, that's only being the way I'm supposed to be. I'm not going to be rude to you. And he goes, oh, she's so pretty, Nancy. I said, yes, she is. And she's actually very nice, too. I said, and she'll call me back. He goes, oh, I hope so. I said, no, she will. Honest, you know, she will. And he goes,
oh, I
just can't believe. And so, like, 5 years after that, he'd call me up again, and he goes, Nancy, I don't know if you remember who I am. And I go, yeah, I remember. You were kind of taken back because I told Catherine Oxenberg she had to call me back. He goes, you do remember, don't you? You know, it was funny. It's like, yeah, you know, so, you know, but I can't do that. I mean, I'm the type that if I'm doing something with somebody, even if the President of the United States called, I would probably say, you know, you're going to have to call me back.
Yeah.
You know, and people go, you would do that? It's like, well, yeah, because I'm already talking to you, you know?
Right. No, I'm right there with you. I very much agree with that.
You know, and some people have a really tough time with, you know, do you have to, you know, call me back? But it's like, you know, okay, you're just human like everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, you
do have a life, and you do have clients, and you do have other things happening. You can't just drop the ball all the time and, you know, always be available.
Yeah, I mean, I try, but, you know, if I got somebody else, I can't do that. When you were starting to go through all of your training, how long did it take you about?
Gosh, you know, I dabbled in a lot of different things, and probably the whole process was, you know, probably about 7 years. But the interesting thing about that is that every time I did more schooling, like when I started my spiritual psychology, I noticed my psychic powers getting stronger. And then when I got into holistic health, they were getting stronger. And so every time I continued along, like we just spoke about a few minutes ago, like every time I continued to follow my passions
mm-hmm.
and where the road was leading me and things that I was just so interested in, and every time I followed that path, I noticed my psychic abilities just getting stronger and stronger. And then it just ended up leading me to literally one day Years ago, a girlfriend of mine gave me a Ouija board for my birthday, which was really strange because I had always been very afraid of those. And, you know, I just heard so many bad stories and stuff about them. But, you know, my mom kind of walked me through the process of, you know, how to just at least make sure, you know, the board was cleared from any bad spirits and all that. So one night I was home by myself, and I said, well, I'm just going to go on and see what happens. I'm by myself. I'll just, you know, kind of see. And I was on the board for 15 minutes. Nothing happened. I was just ready to put the board away. And my first spirit guide, my grandmother, came on the board. She spelled out her name. She said, this is Nana Rose. You know, I'm your spirit guide. I want you to be an intuitive coach. Mm-hmm. So I got really scared, and I put the board away, and I called my mom immediately. I'm like, oh, my God, Mom, Nana just came through on the board. And she's like, oh, it's about time. She's like, I've been waiting so long for you to kind of, you know, fully step into your abilities. And now finally this is like, you know, this is the start for you. And so I literally, like, the Ouija board for me was kind of my training wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for a couple of months. And as I was doing the board, I would call, like, friends over and stuff. And I'd be like, okay, ask questions. And I'd be going so fast, my hand would be going so fast on the board, it would be flying like 100 miles an hour. My husband would go, you know, Janet, there is no way that you're reading these messages that are coming up on the board because your hand's going so fast, there's no way you could be reading the letters, you know, that are on the board. So he's like, you're obviously getting your information in a different way, but the board was a distraction, you know, and so it was like the little training wheels. Like, I was focused on watching this thing. But meanwhile, the information was really coming in a whole different way. So, and then I finally figured out that I was hearing them. And then one day they said to me, the guides just said, stop using the board, you don't need it. And that was the end of that.
It's real important, though, while you're talking about the Ouija board, that people understand that if they don't know what they're doing and they don't know how to clear it, they really need to not mess with it.
I couldn't be in more agreement with you. If I didn't have my mom to walk me through it, I never would have touched it.
Yeah, because it can be an opening to something that you will really live to regret.
Absolutely.
You know,
it can be a very scary, and a lot of low-level spirits can come on that board, and it could be a very bad experience, I agree. So, yeah, either have somebody with you who knows about all this stuff and is experienced with, you know, how to get rid of, you know, clear any bad energy that may try and come through, or don't do it at all.
Yeah, I actually try to get people not to do it all because most people think that they're going to be fine, and then all of a sudden they're not. So when we used to go clear houses, for example, one of my first questions I would ask the person is, do you have a Ouija board in this house now, or have you ever had one in this house now that you used? And they would look at me like, why do you ask? It's like, well, because chances are you really don't know how to use it, and you may have opened a portal that you've now let something in here that you're asking us to get rid of, and we're trying to figure out where it's come from.
Oh, interesting.
And they look at me like, well, yeah, about 6 months ago, or a year ago, you know, and they'll give us some dates. And then sometimes people go, no, no. And it's like I feel it, you know, like it's still in the house. I go, well, now, wait a minute. I've got some energy going on here that's telling me that board's still here. So can you tell me where it's at? You know, stuff like that. And it never failed. Usually if we were in a home, a house, whatever, that had some kind of a spirit in there that wasn't such a friendly type spirit, there had been a Ouija board used in that house.
Oh, my gosh. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point to bring up.
Yeah, that's why I tell people, be a little careful. I mean, if you know what you're doing and you never, ever use it alone, and you can really know the truth, because they'll come through and lie to you just to come through.
Yes.
You know, and that's what people need to be careful of, because it starts off really, really nice, everything really pleasant, and all your answers are exactly what you want to hear, and then all of a sudden it takes like a 360-degree turn the other way.
Yes.
You know, there's a movie, an old movie, it's called Witchboard, and another one called Witchboard 2. Anybody who likes using a Ouija board or thinks they want to, first get that old movie, both of those old movies, and take a look at it. You'd be surprised. And
you'll be throwing yours out in the trash if you have one after those.
It's pretty right on what that movie shows. I was impressed with both of them, actually, and it takes a lot to impress me when it comes to movies like that.
Right, right.
but it was pretty much right on with what I have seen and what I know about them. You know, so if you have somebody that can help you with it, that's fine. But if you don't know what you're doing, then don't do it. Like all these parents will buy their young daughters a Ouija board.
Right.
And it's like they really get into some things, and the parents don't even know anything about it. And the kids all of a sudden, like, personalities are changing, and they can't get along with anybody. And it's like, okay, well, why all of a sudden is it happening then? You know, and then I find out that they got their kids a Ouija board, and it's like, you've got to be kidding me.
No, I know. It's so true. You have to be really careful with that. And, you know, the other thing about that along those same lines is that I know that when I first started tuning in to my abilities really strongly, you know, my grandmother was my first guide and all that. But what I found is, like, my first 6 months, you know, of getting used to doing this and sort of having their energy around me, there was a low spirit that would come in. And initially, his energy would just be like that of my grandmother and whoever else she was bringing through for me. But within 2 or 3 minutes, it would, like, he would disguise himself as my grandmother's energy, and then he would just turn into a whole different thing, and I'd be like, oh, my gosh, who is this person? You know, who is this spirit? And he wasn't, like, trying to do anything evil or whatever, but he kept saying, I need your help, I need your help, I need your help. And basically, I'm not going to leave you alone until you help me. Mm-hmm. And because I was so new, you know, just coming into these powers, I remember going over to my mom's house one night. I told her about it. She said, well, come on over. And basically, she talked to the spirit that was trying to come through. And oddly enough, when he was in human form, he had been a con man and had just lived a really low life kind of, you know, person, and always was, like, you know, stealing money from people and ripping them off and all that. And so even when his soul had crossed over, he was still kind of following those bad ways that he had. And so my mom literally talked to the spirit for about an hour, made him see the error of his ways, and sent him off on his merry way, and that was it, and he never bothered me again. But, you know, unless, you know, doing anything with this and getting involved with any of this, it's always good to have somebody around who has experience and knows about these things so that they can help you through it.
Which is real important. Now, Jenna, can you give out all your information again, including where they can go to find the articles that you write, all the way through to how they can actually get a hold of you?
Sure. If you want to see my weekly column, you can go to Bridget Walther, which is B-R-I-D-G-E-T-T, Walther, W-A-L-T-H-E-R.com, or you can just look on astroabby.com. And if you look to the right-hand side of the website, you'll see something called a column called Medium. And if you click on that, you'll see where people write in and ask me questions, and I will answer them for you. And then if you want to contact me directly, you can go to JannaHollingsworth.com, which is JannaHollingsworth.com, or you can call me at 310-441-9597.
I'm going to have you repeat it one more time.
Sure. JannaHollingsworth.com, JannaHollingsworth.com, or you can call me at 310-441-9597.
Would you all be great. I thank you for being on the show, Jenna. It's been a lot of fun. Even though we didn't have calls, it's okay. That's why I say we'll just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. I had a great time.
Is there anything you'd like to add before we actually have to go off air?
I would just say to everybody, you all have psychic abilities, and, you know, just practice some little exercises, you know, to try and get your awareness up. And then, you know, when you wake up in the mornings, just ask your spirit guides for help, even though you don't know their name, and they are there to help you. So just know that, and know that you all have psychic ability, and listen to your gut instinct, like Nancy said.
Yeah, that's real important. And I'm just going to add a couple things. One thing, first, Anna, again, thank you for being on the show. But there's a place that I found for the people out there who have children to get their clothes, and brand new clothes, designer clothes and everything, for 50 to 70% below retail. Below retail, okay? You go to www.magickidsusa.com. And then there's a code that you put in. It's M like monkey, K, 62222. So there's like four twos. And the clothes are absolutely beautiful. I mean, depending if you have a store, if you just have kids, you can save a ton of money. So again, it's www.magickidsusa.com. And the code number is MK62222. Everybody check it out because it is a way to save money because kids grow up so fast, but it's got a lot of really neat looking clothes in there. And Jana, again, I would like to thank you for being on the show. And I'd like to thank you, all of the listeners. May God bless all of you. I hope you all have a great week. Take care, and we'll be talking to you soon. Bye now.
Bye.